So Freddie Laker, airline pioneer, longtime friend and mentor, died this past Thursday, February 9th, 2006, at the age of 83 in Hollywood, Florida. It's a sad day for his loving family and all of us in the airline industry, especially those who had the pleasure of spending time with him. Most of you are aware of Sir Freddie's accomplishments, which have been covered by the international press and will be posted on our website. But today I'd like to take a moment to chat a bit about the Sir Freddie Laker, the man I knew. Sir Freddie's warmth, friendliness, and sense of humor set him aside from others. Freddie was always approachable, maintained an open-door policy. And when asked by the press what his role was at Laker Airways, he often said he was the sales manager. That was the kind of guy Freddie was. I first met Sir Freddie at British Airways, BUA, while employed as the company's manager for the U.S. And on this particular day, at Freddie's invitation, I traveled on a BUA VC-10 inaugural flight, and we were flying from London to Nairobi. British Airways had objected to BUA's offering first-class service on flights to Africa, and the British government had agreed that, in compliance with this, the ruling by the British government, the forward section of the aircraft, which would have housed the first-class passengers in the current configuration, was empty. However, the VC-10 had a large cargo capacity and a cargo door in the forward section, and much to my amazement, Freddie had the seats removed and put his Rolls Royce into the aircraft. And upon our arrival at Nairobi Airport, we received a royal welcome with bands playing and full VIP reception. And by this time, the Rolls had been removed from the aircraft, and we drove down Kenyatta Boulevard in the Rolls, bearing Sir Freddie's license plate FAL1, to meet with the president of Kenya. What an experience for this very young airline guy entering into Laker's marvelous world. About a year after that, Freddie resigned his managing director position at BUA to Sir Miles Wyatt on one of the saddest days in his life, actually. It was during the funeral of his first son who had died in an automobile accident. And I often wonder, had Freddie stayed on as managing director at BUA with his amazing vision of the airline industry, I dare say British Airways may not exist as we know it today. Sir Richard Branson reiterated in his press comments regarding Sir Freddie leaving British United, he went on to fulfill his life dream of owning his own airline, end quote. To this day, I refer to it as Laker One because there was a lot more to come. I was privileged to be part of the new Laker Airways team. The airline started out with some Bach 111s for the intra-European scheduled air services, and two Boeing 707-138Bs for the international routes. The Boeing aircraft were acquired from a bank that had repossessed them from Harold Bamberg's then-defunct airline. Freddie's unique approach to the bank was, give me the two aircraft since you have no need for them. I'll put up the money to operate and market them, and then we can take the cost off the top and split the profit. Well, the bank went for it, and Laker Airways soon received charter approval from the U.S. and Canada, beginning his new charter flights from the U.K. to JFK and Toronto were finally underway. During the past period, the Boeing aircraft tended to leak small amounts of water from the overhead above rows 1 through 3, and this was merely some condensation that was accumulating in the overhead from some faulty insulation around the AC units. And I discovered this on takeoff out of London one day because the Brits, who always carried umbrellas with them, simply opened them as the water came down, as if it was a normal thing on a rainy day in the UK. Well, the charter airline industry was going through some difficult times at this point due to overregulation by various governments, including our own. And it was called the time of gray area charters. Charter flights could only operate under certain umbrellas, incentive or affinity groups. And I remember one particular incident Freddie commented on for years on a fully documented Laker Airways flight as it was about to depart from what was then called the North Passenger Terminal at Kennedy Airport, when a member of the Civil Aeronautics Board questioned me about the legality of this flight. His comment was, the organization who chartered this flight was called the Left Hand Club. And the official pointed out that there was a member of this organization in line who not only did not have a left hand, but in fact didn't even have a left arm. And when I questioned the charter operator about this, he replied, he did when he joined. So there were some some funny times during that period. The government's regulation of airline fares came to a close when Sir Freddie proposed his SkyTrain project. It took about 8 years before he got approval from the various governments, but his SkyTrain became the world's first low-cost airline. Freddie knew the airline's huge day-to-day cost of reservations, facilities, ticket counters, and in-flight meals had to be passed along onto the consumer. And fascinated by Eastern Airlines' shuttle between JFK and Washington, he said to me over drinks at lunch at the club he owned in London, "Why can't we do this between London and New York? Offer economical transatlantic service. Let them buy their tickets on board the aircraft and a meal if they wish." Well, the next day, he had a press conference in London, and the newspapers gave birth to his new innovative concept. And the headlines read, "Freddie Laker announces SkyTrain, a new low-cost transatlantic service," and the rest, of course, is history. One very amusing obsession of Freddie's was he could not stand to listen to a constantly ringing telephone. If it was not answered in a timely manner, whether it was in your home, somebody's office, the White House, or British Parliament even, he'd pick up the phone and answer it by saying, "This is Mr. Lowy's line," or the name of the person whose line it was. "Freddie Laker speaking." He never liked keeping people waiting, always allowed more time than most to listen. He commented to me once after what seemed a longer than necessary session with someone that everyone had a right to their opinion, just some take a little bit longer than others. Sir Freddie also predicted some 20-odd years ago that one day there might only be a few major, or as what we call today, legacy airlines in the world. Another favorite quote of his was, "To be in the airline business, you either need to be crazy or like airplanes." And my guess is he liked airplanes. He was a man of vision, great character, fun-loving, kind, and considerate of others, a true Renaissance man. Sir Freddie, you will be missed but never forgotten, because you will live in our minds and hearts forever. When I come back, educational travel and volunteerism with Sam Blythe.